Hello everyone, good evening, and welcome to July's Ordinary Council meeting on the 21st of July. Welcome everyone in the audience, and we'll proceed with only quite a small meeting tonight. On behalf of Council, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land in which this meeting is taking place, and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. For those in the gallery, members of the gallery are advised that this meeting is audio recorded and therefore will be published on our website, and that no council decision from tonight's meeting will be communicated or implemented until 12 noon on the first clear working day after this meeting, unless by council and by resolution carried out at this meeting requests the CEO to take immediate action to implement the decision. Record of attendance. We have everyone in the room. Okay. Thank you for councillors for being here. Item number five, which deals with disclosure of interest. Do we have any financial proximity or impartiality interests to be disclosed tonight? And I see that's nil. Thank you. Now, okay, we have public question time. I believe that's nil. That's correct. Okay. And there's no response from previous questions. In terms of presentation and deputations, I believe we have someone who's going to be presenting. That's correct. Okay. Maureen, step forward. And can someone do the button?
Oh, thank you. I'm Maureen Flynn from 62 Allen Street. And apologies to the people that might have sat through some of this before, but there's enough new people here to make it worth saying again. So not all of it, but some of it, it will be familiar to some of you. So, and I will read it because I'm not very good at ad-libbing. The people of East Fremantle have a strong track record in wanting action on climate change. In 2016, a group of locals door-knocked homes in East Fremantle and collected over 750 signatures on a petition calling on the town to take action on climate change. The people that collected those signatures were overwhelmed that of those people they managed to catch at home, around 80% were wholeheartedly enthusiastic to sign the petition. In 2019, the town declared a climate emergency. Following this in 2020, 24 electors attended the annual electors meeting and unanimously supported a motion put by residents that the town develop a climate emergency action plan and establish a climate action reference group. The motion was considered at the March 2020 meeting and was passed unanimously. The town followed this up by endorsing a climate emergency strategy and the climate emergency action plan. Now, just for brevity, from now on I'm going to say CARG and KEEP. KEEP is the climate emergency action plan for those of you that aren't very familiar with the terminology. So given the financial and resource constraints of the town, the ambition expressed in the KEEP has been challenging to achieve. However, in spite of this, the goodwill of both council and community members has resulted in a number of activities that have helped address the climate emergency. However, East Fremantle on its own can only achieve so much. And this is the reason why one of the three components of the KEEP is advocacy. Currently, local governments across Australia are facing enormous challenges in responding to the impacts of climate change, and the financial burden of this cannot be overstated. I'm here as a resident to support Councillor Cutter's motion regarding WALGA and the National Climate Adaptation Funding, but I have had support from community members, including each of the CARG community members, for my deputation. I urge councillors to consider the motion In considering the motion, to be mindful of the strong support from residents of the town to take action on climate change, and that advocacy is an important part of this action. If successful, the motion will contribute to the voice of councils across Australia calling for a mechanism to provide sustainable funding from government to enable local governments to tackle the effects of climate change. That's it.
Thank you, Maureen. Now, does anyone have any questions? No, I just have one. So just to be crystal clear, while you've said you've got support from other members of CARP, but you're not here as a...
I'm here as a resident.
As a resident only. Okay, yep. Thank you. Just to be clear about that.
You know, I had hoped to, initially, when I only heard about the motion last week, and it's been a busy weekend, I'd hoped to gather up a few people to be here, but obviously... Mm. It's not a big deal anyway, you know, so I'd waste their goodwill. But anyway, that's it. If I could just say, before I finish, I think that Councillor Cutter's motion and the supporting documents she's provided gave a, you know, really comprehensive summary. I've read it and I've read the officer's report. I think that... This motion is a way that we can play a small part towards potentially putting pressure where it needs to be to provide the funding that we need long term, and it is going to be massive. And that some of the issues that were raised in the officer's report, whilst I understand, particularly about that the town doesn't have the resources to really fully understand the implications of this long term, from my point of view, I completely understand that, and I wouldn't expect the town to be doing that. But in fact, the Walga and other councils would have better resources, and then ultimately the federal government, who we're asking to establish this fund, would be the people who I think would do their due diligence and make sure that it was all hunky-dory. It's a technical term. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving forward, and I note that we'll be having that debate in, I'm assuming, in about 10 minutes' time. Moving forward, applications of leave. Anyone? Councillor Maywood?
I think I might have already put this in, but just double-checking. The 27th of August to the 11th of September.
Okay. Anyone else? Councillor Wilson? Okay. No one else? Can I please move a full leave? Councillor White, thank you. Seconder, Councillor Bekata, thank you. Please raise your hands to accept that motion. Leave, thank you. That's been adopted unanimously, thank you. Moving forward, 9.1, the meeting of council for the 16th of June, which is the officer recommendation to in regards to the minutes. Okay. Can I please have a move and a seconder to accept the minutes? Thank you, Councillor Maywood. Seconder, Councillor Cutter. Minute discussion? There's none. Please raise your hand to adopt those minutes. Thank you. And that's been approved unanimously. 9.2, meeting of the special council meeting for the 23rd of June 2026. Can I please have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Maywood, thank you. And Councillor Wilson? Maywood and Wilson? Any discussion? I see that's nil. Therefore, please raise your hands again to adopt it. Thank you. And that's again approved unanimously. Moving on to announcements by the presiding member. Since we last met, and I'll go in descending order here. The town had a ceremony last week where 14 individuals. And you can have my notes afterwards. 40 individuals from a variety of countries. Okay, in terms of the decision ceremony, don't quote me here, but there will be at least 8 to different countries, particularly including, someone called Edil from Turkey. And particularly for those who've read the media release, and particularly around her story. And I'm also impressed how it is also married to someone who is a resident of the town for at least 70 plus years. So it's our town becoming stronger through long linkages. I particularly note and thank the town staff that ran another fantastic event and a wonderful evening with family friends. Plus, we also had our local state members of parliament, that is Lisa O'Malley here, as well as Simone McGurk. In late June, we also had the opening of the Norm Mackenzie River Wall, which was hosted at the Fremantle Rowing Club. This was attended by the DBCA team, the consultants, the contractors, as well as members of East Fremantle. Many thanks to Jack and Bing, and the infrastructure team, as well as the comms engagement team. They helped put that together. For those that haven't seen it, it is a vast improvement to that area with the DBCA and the town, an investment of $430,000. So that was a fantastic outcome. During the month, we also met Simone McGurk, MLA of Fremantle, particularly to talk to her about the George Street underpass. We subsequently sent her a letter seeking support in regards to that state-owned asset and sought to seek funding and to deliver an upgrade in that area to improve the lighting and the wayfinding and also the public art. Separately, we also wrote to Simone around the Solar Street Dog Park, particularly to expedite the ongoing discussions that towns had with the main roads at WA. Particularly to make the site safe, and the treatment of asbestos. That particular issue with the solar dog park has been going on for maybe close to 2 years. Okay, so and we decided to escalate that. Looking forward, though, I'm reminding elected members that the nuclear powered submarine program update will also be held in the town at East Fremantle at East Fremantle Community Park on the 29th of July at Carnaby's for those that can attend. So it's been, like I said, it's been another busy time, okay, and having things to look forward to as well. In terms of unresolved business from previous minutes, it's nil. Reports and recommendations of committees, there's nil. Moving on to the officers' reports, 13.1. Can I please have a mover for the first item, which is to accept the privacy policy? Councillor Maywood, thank you. Seconder? Councillor Wilson, thank you. Councillor Maywood?
No further comments from me. I'm happy to support the officers' recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson?
No further comments, and likewise happy to support the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Does anyone want to speak against it? Okay, I see there's nil, and Councillor Maywood, nothing further? Okay, therefore I ask elected members to please raise your hand to adopt the recommendation. Thank you. That's been approved unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 13.2. I haven't set up my computer yet. Hang on. Okay, so 3.2, which is the review of the dog management policy. Can I have a please a mover for that? Councillor, sorry? Okay, let's go questions first. Yes, thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Mayor. Question for the executive team, just to provide context to it. Is the service level changing? And what are business hours?
No.
Where?
Through the chair, no, they're not changing from what they currently are, but the dog management policy had become out of date, so what it was saying was different to what we were actually resourced for, and that was just picked up during the checks.
Any further questions? Look, the only comment slash question I have, I note that the side street has been taken out of that policy, but I believe once we get another lease, they'll be added back in, that's correct?
Yeah, through the chair, given we were updating, I didn't think it was appropriate to include an area that we didn't have current control over, and it would be very straightforward to put back in as soon as that's taken back on board.
Lovely. Yes, again. Put your, can be the microphone on, thank you.
Make a comment, and it's a sort of question, but I've been wondering about the riverside along where the left bank is. I walk along there quite frequently, and there are many dogs off leads on that area. When I stop them to say they should have them on, they clearly tell me that I've got it wrong. So it's not really a question because it's not a dog off the lead area, but, you know, talking about large dogs, and I think Cliff would agree with that, but going down there. So
it's a question about enforcement, I think.
Yeah, so really it is, because there's nothing mentioned in the report, and even in the fine line, so I read it all through and there's nothing there about the riverside.
I think Councillor, he would like to respond. Yeah, thank you, Jack.
Yeah, so through the chair, absolutely. If it's not noted within the formal policy, then it's not permitted to be off lead. And I can certainly ask rangers to increase the compliance in that area just in the short term to ensure the community is aware. Yeah, yeah, morning and evening.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Any further other questions? I know this policy hasn't gone through the normal process. Therefore, can I have a mover, please? Councillor Harrington, thank you. And Singleton, Councillor Boyd. Thank you. Councillor Harrington?
No, nothing much to add to it, but thank you for the efforts in changing what you have. There were quite salient things that were needed moving along, so thank you very much, and probably clarifies it a list. But hopefully we'll be able to have a concise list on the website to say where the dog off the lead areas are.
Thank you. Councillor Boyd?
Thank you, and would also thank the broader team for correspondence with Minister McGurk's office, and look forward to hearing back relating to the Silas Street Dog Park, as it is an area that the community has lost access to and is impacting people's wellbeing.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this policy amendment? No? Okay. Councillor Harrington, would you like to close? Anything further?
Nothing further.
Nothing further.
Thank you.
Okay. Therefore, I put the recommendation. I think that's on page 37. Everyone for the recommendation, please raise your hands. And that's been approved unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item 13.3. Okay, which is the deferment of the June 2026 monthly financial report. I think the report speaks for itself. Anyone please have a mover for that? Councillor Cutter, thank you. Secretary Councillor Maywood. Councillor Cutter, Councillor Maywood.
Yeah, happy to support the officer recommendation. Seems like a prudent, pragmatic approach. Thank you.
Yep. Councillor Maywood?
Nothing further to add from me.
Okay, nothing further. No discussions from elected members? All good? Lovely. Then I again ask you to, I think the recommendation is something on page 37. And please raise your hand to adopt the recommendation, and that's been approved unanimously. Lovely. Okay, 13.4, which is the accounts payable for June 2026. Can I please have a mover? Councillor Wilson, thank you, and Councillor White. Councillor Wilson?
Yeah, no, I have no further comments on the report as it's presented. Thanks,
thank you.
Peter.
Councillor White?
Nothing further.
Nothing further. Okay, standard. Okay, any questions? Okay, Councillor Boyd?
Thank you. Just with reference to the ARIC agenda, I think it was page 50 in the Moore report. Could it be possible to get a executive comment on if the perception there is risk with providing the extra information for community benefit?
Okay.
Through the chair, look, a very good point. Through the external financial management review, it was identified through a review of our monthly payment listing that we included more information than what was prescribed under the financial management regulations. Traditionally, we've included a description under the line invoice. Following internal review of that finding and discussions with the Department of Local Government, it was identified that that information goes above and beyond what's prescribed by regulation. So the recommendation is that we produce two payment listings, one being a confidential copy for elected members, which is exactly the same information as what we've previously presented, and then a modified copy for public consumption, which removes the invoice detail. And that's due to, an assessment of social engineering risk, and some local governments have been defrauded, and it's obvious that that has occurred through a review of their monthly payment listing and picking up trends in payments to suppliers.
Thank you. Any further questions in regards to this? Councillor Wilson, I think. Okay. Therefore, I again refer everyone to the recommendation and ask to raise your hand to adopt the June report. Thank you. And that's been adopted unanimously. Moving on to 14, motions of which previous notice has been given. Okay. So the mover is... Do we need a seconder?
Yes. That has to be moved by...
Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Wait, do you want a seconder? Second. Okay, thank you. So it's moved by Councillor Carter, seconded by Councillor Collinson. Councillor Cutter.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much as well to Maureen for your very eloquent deputation, which is far in excess of what I'm capable of delivering. I suppose there's a couple of things I wanted to address, the reason for the motion, but then also trying to address some of the questions that got raised through the administration response just before then further discussion can be had. Obviously, recognising and acknowledging that the town has also previously endorsed the climate action position taken by WALGA, and that only recently went through, which explicitly calls for funding guidance and practical support for councils. And the recognition of the extent of funding that is required is significant and is only growing in terms of, in particular, adaptation efforts. And we see this, obviously, the seawall is part of our significant asset requiring works. This motion, though, goes a step further. This is about increasing the pressure on the federal government via the state bodies. So that's WALGA, but also all the other equivalents, along with ALGA, to identify concrete revenue sources to meet that gap. So the idea is that we've identified there's a gap, we've requested more funding already, but this goes beyond that and is explicit in saying this is about shifting the burden of how this gets funded from the ratepayer to other sources of revenue that we believe have got more capacity to provide some financial support in that space. The ultimate, I guess, there's sort of a lack of debate to be had around the need for funding. There's unequivocally a significant gap, and there's certain funding mechanisms available already, but they are falling short of the need. I think we have the benefit of not being a port beach right now facing significant erosion, or a Shire of Gingin with significant coastal erosion. But we will inevitably have our own equivalents as we go. And we know that the coastal hazard mapping has identified areas of retreat, but we know we are going to continue to need to fund this. So it's a question of how do we fund this gap, ratepayers or finding alternative sources. So I see this as fairly non-controversial. It identifies a method to meet that gap by those best suited to pay. A polluter pays mechanism also has overwhelming public support, and as Maureen has advocated on behalf of residents and as residents have previously articulated to the town, this is an important area to focus on, and they want to see more action on climate. So just to address the administration's questions, so thank you very much for the timely way in which that got put together, so I appreciate that. Firstly, whilst ALGA have their own timeline for formal minutes from the conference, there's ample media reporting, including the direct reporting from the attendees and the City of Sydney, who raised the motion in the first place, that this was voted en bloc. So unlikely there was a change made to the motion itself, and it passed unanimously, unopposed. With regards to the resource requirement, like many other advocacy positions that go via WALGA, I see this as a high impact, like high leverage but low resource requirement from our town. So this feels like, again, a no-brainer for us to support this. And then I guess just to challenge perhaps that this may look like a duplication of effort, but there is significant value in WALGA advocating for the same initiatives as ALGA, as this demonstrates that widespread grassroots support across the country. And that also brings a WA perspective as well to the table and making sure that our specific local needs are met. So we're not being asked to design the levy ourselves. We're being asked to add our voice. And along with hundreds of other councils, this is, you know, adding more pressure to the federal government to investigate a fairer way to fund this bill. That's always going to land on our doorstep. And so on this basis, I'd like us to support the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Collinson.
There's no doubt that council does have an advocacy role, and I think that is quite important. I mean, we've got plenty of other business that we deal with, but we're pretty small fry in the overall scheme of things, but every little bit does count in terms of movements to change. And I can give an example of that for me as an old environmental campaigner from back in the 1970s. I was very involved in the campaign to save native forests. At the time, it seemed like an impossible task. It took, 30 years before, you know, people getting, you know, camping up in trees and all the rest of it, getting arrested. And it just took a long, long time. But eventually we did get the ban on old growth logging. So movements, I think, do take time. They often take time to get momentum. And this one, I think, is one of those. Consumers, you know, there's been an advocacy amongst environmental groups for a long time to get the polluters to pay. And the people that do the damage are the ones that really should be covering the cost of some of their damage. And we've got no doubt that it's the fossil fuel companies that are causing most of the climate change action that we're having at the moment. And they should take some responsibility for what we're doing. And we also know that they do pay very, very low tax over as it is at the moment, much lower. Some of them pay very little at all, almost nothing. And they're selling it off for nothing as well. You know, like a lot of our gas gets sent to Japan. Japan, in terms on, sells it at a profit, just WA gas. And this is the sort of stuff that's happening. I mean, it's really quite, I think it's outrageous what's been going on in the fossil fuel industry at the moment. But governments are very reluctant to act, just as the same with product stewardship is another area that I think we should be campaigning for, that governments are failing to act on that. And they probably won't for a while, but once you get enough momentum, there is real possibility for action. And we're seeing it in the news at the moment, all the action with all the erosion up at Lancelin and other coastal areas that councillors are trying to have to deal with. And our river is another example of that, as Councillor Cutter already pointed out. Our river is a problem. We're already spending a lot of money on trying to stop that river from encroaching. We saw in that storm just last month where the river overflowed almost to the dome. I think the dome was, and that road, Riverside Road, which ultimately is probably not going to last that long anyway. So we're going to have to deal with that. And how are we going to deal with the Riverside Road when that floods all the time? So we've got a lot to deal with. And yeah, absolutely. It is important that we get some funding for that. And the most obvious source is not the handout from the government. It's the obvious source to me is that the fossil fuel companies, the people that are doing the damage, should pay and in some way contribute to the damage which they are responsible for.
Thank you, Councillor. Does anyone want to speak against the motion? Councillor White?
Thank you, Mayor. I had to think long and hard about this. I'm a supporter of CARC. I'm a supporter of our climate action plan. And I understand the issues in relation to erosion, the seaside, all of those things, but this motion isn't really about that. This is just, as a council, as a collective, asking the government to impose an export levy, effectively, and loosely on the basis that that money could be used for mitigation for climate change. For those who know me, who've known that over the all the time I've been a councillor, I've always been one who's advocated that it's not necessarily the place of local government to start delving into areas of party politics in federal spheres. It's a distraction from what we are supposed to do, and it's, I think, beyond our mandate. I'm a big supporter of all things to mitigate and climate change. I do that in my own home. I've got an electric car for the business. I've got battery, solar panels. I do what I can. But do I think this is a right move for East Fremantle? No, I don't. I absolutely don't. So, and for me, this is straying into party politics, and this is an area that I don't think we, as a council, should enter. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak for the motion? Oh, Councillor Maywood, thank you. Sorry, thank you.
Thank you. This is another tricky one. Sorry, I'm going to be looking down because I've got some notes. Look, I think it is clear that a local governments in WA desperately need funding and practical guidance from the state and federal government on how to mitigate the effects of climate change. Councillor Cutter mentioned a few different local governments who are facing different challenges in terms of bushfires and coastal erosion, and we know that the effects of climate change will continue to impact residents in local government areas within WA, including the ratepayers here in East Fremantle and the River Wall, and the challenges we've had ongoing there in the last couple of years have been a clear example of that. And we know that the money cannot solely come from local governments themselves. We just simply don't have the budget, especially when it comes to smaller local governments like ourselves. In my mind, supporting this motion is really about allowing this topic and this argument about, you know, the funding and the practical guidance and where it comes from to be discussed at a larger forum at Wowga. It allows for different local governments, both metropolitan and rural local governments, who I'm sure will have differing opinions based on their different challenges, to be discussed at the Wowga General Meeting. And as Councillor Cutter said, the solution doesn't need to be perfect. We're not in charge of designing the perfect solution. But I think it is a really important step for East Fremantle to take in recommending this to be discussed at a larger forum. And I'll just note Councillor White's comments about straying into party politics and the history we've had at East Fremantle in being a really cohesive council and not getting overly political. But I do think that these topics, we can't just shy away from them, especially because we know that it is beginning to impact residents in local governments. Obviously, rurally, we're seeing a lot more, but it's also happening right here. So I would like to, support the motion and allow this to be discussed at a wider forum. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you speak against the motion? Does anyone who wants to speak against the motion? That was for the motion. Does anyone else want to speak against the motion? Okay. I'll speak because I'm going to speak again.
Do you want to speak for the motion?
I know, but he can't unless there's someone again. So it's fine. Yeah. I'll come back to him. I'm going to speak against the motion as written. Okay, the biggest concern I have is the word the use. I think including the implementation, the word implementation of taxes and levies. I am a supporter of motion 92. The principles in which in which it's written. I also endorse some of the things that Councillor Cutter has mentioned. as is the producers of the should pay. So I also note that these issues are too big for council. I note that we do need assistance. Motion 92 does deal with these issues of call, scale and remedy, but I also note that does local government have a space in terms of where the taxes should actually be coming from, and that's the real issue that I'm having with this motion. Local governments need to lobby national decisions, which not this motion does entail, because we do need funding for roads and bridges and all that sort of stuff, and we do need to deal with environmental regulations and climate adaptation, because it is such a large issues. More importantly, local government has a place to say where that money needs to be spent. So these are pro the motion that we have in front of us, but. And this is the but which leans a little bit onto what Councillor White was talking about. We should be focusing on how we can influence it at a strategic level, and not necessarily at the word is to the implementation of taxes. Okay, local government has no jurisdiction to levy taxes. We have zero jurisdiction in regards to these frameworks, okay, and I think we'll be overstepping our bounds to do so. The role of council is to ensure that we are heard, which is what we're trying to do with the Welga. I personally believe that this method of the motion can also be dealt with separately at Welga as a separate item. I also note that when we did talk about the climate, when we did adopt the climate action policy here, which was a, correct me wrong, was a similar to the one that adopted by Welga, when that came up in discussion at Welga, A discussion was had in regards to how the funding, and it was very clear that we need funding, but it was also very clear not necessarily how the funding was going to be attributed out. For that reason, it has been discussed. It wants to be further discussed, which I will also endorse, but I can't necessarily endorse this motion with the word, particularly the word implementation, which deals with that we're enforcing a levy when we have no right to do so. So that's what I'm. That's my. So now you want to speak for the motion, Councillor?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Look, I want to speak for the motion. I think as a council we have a residents first policy, and I think the safety and the livability of our residents is top of mind, and our responsibility as council to ensure. And for that, you need revenue. And if I look at our current works program and so forth, and also where our revenue comes from, which 95% of it comes from rates, I believe that climate change is going to add enormous cost pressures on the council that cannot be covered by residents. So then I look at it and say, where is the revenue going to come from? Now, sure, we can say that we have a federal, state and local government and we all have our specific roles and tasks. One of the key things about local government is that we are the boots on the ground, the people are closest to the people, and what they're finding overseas is that local governments are becoming more and more important and are receiving more and more funding because they are very close to the people. So for those reasons, I believe that climate change and the impact it's going to have on East Fremantle, we have a voice and our voice matters. And if there is an opportunity to support any additional revenue opportunity that can come to local council, either through state or federal, and we can support that, then I would fully support any motion in whatever form that occurs. I don't believe that we are playing party politics. We're not taking one side or the other. We have a climate challenge in front of us, and it cannot be funded locally. And through this motion, we are raising our voice to say that we need support locally to be able to address the specific issues, which will vary from council to council. So I support this motion as it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bogman. Does anyone want to speak against the motion? Okay, Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, thank you. Again, like Councillor White, I've given this some deep thought, and in principle, I agree with the motion. In principle, it's quite evident that additional revenue and funding is needed. I too have supported actions that the council has made towards improving the environment that we live in and making an impact where we can. But like the mayor, I also think that this somewhat oversteps our mark and singles out industries in a very generalistic way, and I'm not sure where you would rule a line with the wording that's put forward here. You know, gas industries is very broad in terms of, is it producers, generators of electricity, support services that actually go in to support this industry. And in the end, fundamentally, we're the ones that are generating this pollution. We all here are the users of coal, oil and gas. In principle, you know, we are all part of the problem. And to single out industries or certain, you know, big end of town polluters, I struggle with that, similar to Councillor White. So in general, I do support it. You know, the wording could be altered without too much effect, I think, by just removing line items in B generated by major coal, oil and gas corporations, in my view. And then in line item D, including the implementation of taxes and levies, it could stop there as a potential alternative motion. But I reiterate, you know, the intent that we should say something, that in principle I do agree, I just can't support it with it how it's worded, with singling out a particular sector.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Does one else want to speak for? There's only two councillors left. Thank you.
I definitely support the motion. I have a problem with the issues that you also had, Andrew, because, you know, farmers alone will crank up those engines very shortly to take crops off, and they'll be a polluter as well. So where do we stop? But I do believe that this is a bit of a sledgehammer approach coming from a bigger organisation, where we're saying we need some help later on down the track. And that's how I see this motion going forward. It's not each individual little council having a dig at anybody in particular. I just think it's a general thing that we need to be considering. I also think the government would probably quite like to see this happening, because they would like to get rid of all the councils and go it alone on their own way, so it's an opportunity there. But I do support this, because I think we do need help.
Thank you, Councillor Harrington. Does anyone else want to speak? I think you're the only one, Councillor Boyd. No pressure, please. If you don't, then ask Councillor Cutter to close. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you for all your deep considerations as well on the motion. I will just say that the wording of the motion I deliberately left untouched from the motion that was put up at ALGA on the basis that that was what was voted in unanimously. 500 councils were there at that conference and it got voted en bloc without being modified. And I thought it was important to essentially be endorsing the same motion for that reason. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. You know, I'd like to see more funding for mitigation and adaptation. There are many ways you could tweak this, but I thought it was important to leave it as it was. I also, just in terms of the party politics piece, I think taking a step back and looking at the overwhelming public support for essentially seeking more funding and financial support from the resources sector is gaining significant traction across the board and across politics. So I think this isn't just speaking for the broader Australian public, though. I think that's also reflective of the East Fremantle community who want to see action on climate. But I think we can't run away from what is causing that. And yes, it's not an ideal solution in terms of exactly matching contributor to dollar donated or contributed. Donated, I mean, that's a generous way of framing a tax, isn't it? But it is certainly pointing the request at those best able to fund it. And I think that's the important consideration here. Is it our role? I would argue it is. I think part of advocacy is reflecting your community aspirations and goals and also reflecting the reality of our funding gap that will grow and grow and grow. And to me, this is a question of, is this a ratepayer-funded gap or does this require putting pressure on any government, whoever's in government? Not just we need money, but we specifically need to push you harder to find a source of money, and here's a suggestion, and this is gaining public traction. So that's why this nominates specific industries. I appreciate that that takes up the advocacy a level beyond just we need money, which is essentially where WALGA's at right now. But I would argue that that is an important point to start pushing. And I think it's only when you start having these conversations and demonstrate that there's voices across the community, across party lines, across whatever your political agenda is, to say we need the money, we need to find where that money comes from. And there's a sector here who are taking resources, contributing to the carbon emissions that we know connect to climate change and have the capacity to fund this as well. I think I'll probably leave it there, but I suppose I would implore you to see that our role is bigger than just our local issues. This is about how we also address those local issues and reflect what the community expects of us as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cutter, and thank you everyone for a considered debate. The debate is now closed, so I ask everyone to raise their hand for those who are for the motion, please. Okay.
Six.
Yeah. Those are for the motion, yeah? Yeah. And those against the motion? Yes. So 6-3. Okay. And thank you, Councillor Cutter, for raising it. Okay, up to item, I think we're up to 15, which is questions by members of which Juno's has been given. It's nil. Any new business of an urgent nature from elected members? That's nil. Matters behind clause is nil. Therefore, I close the meeting at 6:51. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.